coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning. Welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Hyundai Toyota Studios. We want to welcome and thank our listeners on Radio Alabama on WYEA 106.5 and WRFS 105.1 this morning. Joining me in the studio this morning is my good friend, Coach Mark Lassiter. Good morning, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You guys, everybody doing good?
Too blessed to be stressed this beautiful Saturday morning. Dalton's running our board as always this morning, and Phillip's on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines at 251-343-0106. Dalton, how are you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing great. How about you, fellas?
You know, just trying to keep my head above water in regards to going into an all-sports withdrawal. Just sports withdrawal, period. I know these 2 hours, 52 weeks out of the year, we spend it talking high school sports. And, you know, it's not hard to talk high school sports because in the summertime when everybody gets out in June and July, we're talking about getting ready for the upcoming football season or the North-South game that occurs in Montgomery. So there are a lot of things to talk about coaching changing wise. But when you extend that and make it probably close to a 4-5 month period, it becomes a little bit interesting. And throughout this next challenging months and weeks to come here at the Prep Sports Report, we're going to look forward to talking to coaches, athletic directors, students, senior athletes who are not recognized as well, because I can't imagine having a senior athlete and not being able to complete my senior season, possibly not being able to walk across that stage, something you've aimed for. So I'm gonna take something out of Scott Van Pelt's playbook for SportsCenter. We're gonna talk to a lot of seniors and what their thoughts and feelings are as well.
Yeah, you know, of all the athletes that have had to shut it down for the year, of course, it's everybody from professionals down to, we'll see, maybe little leaguers eventually. And the ones that I feel the most for are the seniors in high school and in college that won't get to play their final seasons or their final games of their basketball and winter sports careers. And I'm right there with you, Corey. That's who I feel for the most, especially those who might have had, you know, a last chance to get into a college program. And hopefully they'll still have avenues for those opportunities.
You know, it's hard to talk about what we don't know, and we're gonna hit on that a lot today about uncertain times, about what is happening, what will, and nobody knows, and that is the greatest fear that men have, in my opinion. I think my greatest fear is the unknown. I don't like not knowing. It's just like coming in here this morning. I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit apprehensive about even coming. I don't want to get out of my house right now. Maybe I'm overreacting, I don't know. But when I came in, Dalton had everything Cloroxed and wiped down and bleached down, and everything in here is, just really disinfected. And so, I feel okay about it. But it's like if you just go to Walmart or you go somewhere, you used to not even think about it. Now I carry around these little gloves I got on and disinfectant wipes and wipe everything I touch. So it's just a little bit different in these uncertain times, and it's uncertain for kids as well going forward.
And let me note before we get started in earnest with Prep Sports Report this morning that I'm here at the station week long, and I'm here with Sean Sullivan, Philip Bush, our screener back there. And, we have a lot of local businesses that are in a really, really tough spot right now. And we are a small, locally owned business right here in Mobile, Alabama. And we're going through it just like everyone else. We're coming to work. We're doing everything that is, told, we've been told to do. Wipe everything down. We're following all the protocols, sanitizing our hands, washing our hands as often as possible. Like you said, Mark, Clorox and everything. But I feel for the local athletes, and I really feel for the local businesses as we make it through this time. And like you said, lots of unknowns still out there, but we also don't want to create panic too.
And that's the great thing about, you know, kids are so resilient. My son, it's going to affect him personally because my son is a 2020 senior. He's a senior at Davidson High School. Does not play sports, but I can't tell you how long and how much we've been looking forward to watching him walk across that stage. And at this point in time, there's just that uncertainty factor, not knowing whether that's going to happen or not. And, you know, you have high school athletes who work year long to go ahead and train and condition their bodies for their season to come in sport. And especially when you start talking about the spring sports who were affected, now not only are they taken out of their environment with their friends, now they're not able to chase that dream to go ahead. NCAA, yes, they may add eligibility to those sports, but high school sports, what makes it so unique is you're not going to have an extra year of eligibility. It's done. There is no red shirt. This is the last opportunity that you'll have. And in the next segment, we're going to talk to Executive Director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, Steve Savarese. And I know he doesn't have all the answers, but when you are looking for answers, I wanted and felt like we needed to talk to the person who's in charge, the voice of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, which is Coach Steve Savarese. So he'll be joining us here on the Prep Sports Report on the next segment, and just look forward to seeing the unprecedented territories that he and his office are dealing with, not only locally but nationally, as this pandemic has spread it nation and really globally. You know, a lot of things do continue to occur in high school sports. Sally Jeter, who was the head coach at Foley High School, just took her team and turned a Foley girls basketball program around. She decided to step down this week from her job as the head girls basketball coach. It's going to be replaced by assistant Emily Flanagan. The Lions went 31-3 this season, made it to the regional finals, and she's stepping down. And, of course, we know the transitions that's going on at Foley with Tad Niblett stepping down as athletic director. So that kind of creates a void, and she's able to step in there, as she's very familiar with the athletic programs, not only on the girls' side but on the boys' side as well.
Yeah, it is, and it's a changing time for Foley. You know, they're losing two coaches, and Coach Niblett is now the, I think he's the defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator at Hoover High School, where his brother Josh is the head coach. And so, you know, kudos to Coach for landing in a good spot. You know, going to Hoover is a great place to coach. And, you know, I feel for Coach. Sorry things didn't work out at Foley. At the same time, I'm sure there's lives he touched there, which is in essence the reality of what we do as coaches and teachers. You know, wins and losses is what we're measured by in the media, okay, and by a lot of people. But in actuality, the lives we are trying to touch is what is most important to each one of us. Because I'll be honest with you, I've been out of the head coaching game now for over 10 years. And yesterday, here's an example. Yesterday, two kids that I coached at Fair Oak, and they live at the end of the street. They got families now, you know, and they live down at the end of the street from my house. Came by, waved, said, "Coach, how you doing?" You know, and have stopped by on occasion, and we've relived some memories. That is the reward that I can receive, is just those few moments. And you know that, you know, hey, somewhere in the world today it did something good. So you're going to hear in this show a lot of information coming out to you. But we get to the grace segment. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. Go ahead and let you know. Family, family, family is one thing I'm going to talk about. And family in uncertain times and how we handle and treat one another. It's a big, it's really pressing on me, and I'm a little kind of jumping the gun, but I just want you to know that there's so much information that we're going to feed out this morning to you. Coach Savarese is not going to have every answer to every question because he has no idea. I'm sure that there is a plan. If I know Steve as well as I know him, he's got a plan for this. He got a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. And he'll have all those things, and they're going to have some But there's still some things that's all going to be what if. That's just where we are.
And I think, you know, we're on a day-to-day basis because you just don't know whether this thing could triple, multiply, whether it could disappear and the curve could be shrunk a little bit. But it's a situation to where we know our high school coaches are hurting, our high school athletes are hurting across the country, not only here locally. And here at the Prep Sports Report, we're going to continue to do everything we can to shine a positive spotlight and to give them all the exposure that they need as they continue to transition it. Coming up next, Executive Director Steve Savarese joining us here on the Prep Sports Report.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, joined by Mark Laster, Dalton Orwig, Philip, taking your phone calls on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication line. And joining us now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication line is the Executive Director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, Steve Savarese. Coach Sav, good morning, and thank you for taking time to join us this morning.
Sure. Good morning, Corey. Always great to talk with you, Mark, and everyone. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on there, big guy. How you doing?
Well, when I'm talking to you, I'm doing wonderful. So how are you, pal? How's your family, Mark?
Everybody's fantastic. You know, Landon's coming in from Bruton today to stay with us for a while through these uncertain days and just to kind of see what goes on. But everybody else is doing good. I have my orthopedic surgeon sitting here next to me in case anything goes wrong. So it's Dr. Robichaud is here with us this morning. He's going to talk to us at the 9 o'clock time about coronavirus and talk about that a little bit. But man, we're glad to have you on. Everybody good in your household?
Everybody's wonderful. God has blessed us 1,000-fold. Yes, sir.
That's awesome, buddy.
Coach Sav, it's uncharted territory for all sporting events across the country to be either canceled, postponed, or delayed. And as this coronavirus pandemic has swept the country, it has continued to kind of make things difficult and change and make things on the fly as far as regards to safety and what games can be played, when they can be played, and when things can be postponed and social distancing. So I know your job as executive director of the AHSAA is a tough one, and you guys have a committee that are trying to stay on top of this and adhere to all the standards that were put in place because just like with anything, Coach, everybody has a boss. And when the state superintendent makes recommendations, I know you have an opportunity to listen, but kind of give us a timeline on the AHSAA's process. I know we played the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game, and after that it was pretty much shut down because no outside fans were allowed to that, just the participating families and high school coaches who were involved were allowed to that event. So kind of give us a timeline on what took place in your office.
Well, Corey, as you said, Mark used the word uncertain. You used the word uncharted waters. This is a time, first and foremost, where I think we have to focus on the primary concern, and that's the health and safety of all of our folks, our country. Rick is out this morning sick, and you know, every time somebody's sick anymore, you worry that they could have the virus. And as you get to be our age, you know, my wife is making sure that I don't get out in large crowds. I hated the other day, one of my former players, Kenny King's dad, passed away. Right. And I wasn't able to go to the funeral because if I went to a funeral, I'd be hugging on everybody and shaking everybody's hands. So I went to the house and spent time with the family. But it's very much uncharted territory. And what we've done at the association now is we did form a contingency committee to look at plans if we did return to play. Every day that goes by and the number of cases continue to increase, I think the chances of us returning to play diminish. We all hope and pray that we will get back to a sense of normalcy at some time and use sport to make us forget what we've been through and truly appreciate what sport does for so many of us as entertainment for student athletes and fans alike. So hopefully we'll work tomorrow. Just we have a meeting with our medical advisory board at 2 o'clock. A state superintendent will join us tomorrow. We'll talk about the issues with coronavirus, where we are. But as long as our schools are shut down, you know, we will not have any athletic activities.
Coach, when you guys get together for meetings and groups that you have, you know, there's all these rules about how many people can be in a meeting and, you know, how close proximity it is. What do y'all have to do to what do y'all do in those meetings to kind of, you know, keep yourself safe?
Well, tomorrow's meeting is a webinar. Every one of our meetings that we've had now are by phone or webinar. Well, we use Microsoft Teams where we literally can see each other, and it's basically a Zoom meeting. And what we do is we communicate that way. And we're all learning how to communicate that way. I'll be at home as I connect on to that meeting. But that's how we do it in our office. If someone's in, we practice the social distancing, but most of our folks are working from home at this time.
What about the High School Athletic Association? How long are y'all running a skeleton crew there? Are you closed down? I think I read something the other day, but yeah, I'm getting to that point in my age where I don't remember good anymore, buddies.
Yeah,
I just
Mark,
can't remember.
I feel your pain. I definitely do. We'll be a group of us in Monday morning. We're going to provide all of our schools an update based on what our medical advisory board tells us tomorrow. So we'll prepare updates. We're trying to communicate, and we're posting them all on our website, even for the public to see, as we communicate with our membership to give them the latest updates. We'll do that tomorrow, practicing social distancing, but we'll be a skeleton crew tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday were our spring break dates, so we'll be closed. And then starting the following Monday, we usually have one secretary, one person upstairs, one person downstairs in the office, and everybody else works from home. But our staff has been working truly hard. You know, we're trying to use this to be prepared for when we return. You know, we don't know the parameters of when we will return. You know, we hope we're back sometime this summer, but we just don't know at this time.
I think, like I say, there's a lot of moving parts, and there's moving parts on a daily basis, Coach. I mean, you're kind of rewriting the books and the rules as you go, and it's evidently so, because the more knowledge that is gained from this coronavirus, the do's and don'ts, I think that's when you understand this is what we can do, this is what we shouldn't do. But one of the biggest questions that I have, Coach, and a lot of the public probably just don't know, what can coaches and student athletes do at this time? I mean, can a high school coach meet one of their student athletes at their own home or at their own training facility, or provisions?
Sir. This is totally off limits between the players and the coaches at this time. We don't want to end up like California, New York, Illinois, and Connecticut that have now just totally quarantined all of their citizens of their states. So we're practicing. We want the purpose, if you're at a school, you are not to be involved with those students. And I've seen a lot of folks do some really neat things. They sent it to me, you know, where they provide exercise programs for their kids at home, ways they can keep in shape. You know, whatever they do at home, that's what we would recommend. Is the coach send it to them, but first and foremost, make sure the parents are good with whatever they're doing. But the purpose is not to be out right now and be in any kind of grouping. The purpose now is to be home, to be safe, and so we don't spread this disease to anyone else.
I think one of the things, too, Coach, we got about a minute left before we go to this first commercial break. You mentioned virtual learning as far as your AHSAA staff or virtual meetings. I think that's, you just mentioned, coaches are really becoming very, very innovative when it comes down to, hey, look, we can still, I can watch you on your iPad telling you the correct way to do or conduct exercises in regards to virtual learning and coaching. So I think the technology, really, not only from an academic standpoint, but from an athletic standpoint, is now at the forefront, and it's the most innovative way for coaches to get the type of production and to continue to check on their student athletes.
Well, that's one thing about coaches. They're innovators. If a coach is not an innovator, he's not up on the latest within their sport, then they're falling behind and they won't be successful on the field or court. But so I think all of our coaches right now are utilizing technology to communicate with their folks, just like we are in our office. We utilize the technology. So that's a benefit that we can really take advantage of right now, using technology to keep our kids in some type of physical shape when they do return.
We're speaking with Executive Director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, Steve Savarese. We're going to go into a break, and when we come back on the other side, got some other things I want to speak with Coach Savarese about, such as revenue sharing, Super 7, and other championships events. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig running our boards here, and Philip on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines, to where you can call in at 251-343-0106. Right now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication line is the Executive Director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And in our last segment, he kind of talked to us and gave us an update on how his office at the AHSAA is dealing with this pandemic and the steps that they're taking moving forward. And again, this is uncharted, unprecedented territory, and it's kind of, you can write something, you better write it in pencil, because you're going to need an eraser, because it's going to change fluidly as this coronavirus, as we're, as Americans, trying to get on top of it. But Coach, so many great things go on in the AHSAA on a daily basis. You have so many positive teachers, coaches, and role models that not only help our student athletes athletically, but help them academically also. And one of the questions that have been presented to me is, you know, the concern for the student athletes in regards to trying to take their ACTs if they haven't qualified, what they're dealing and how they're going to deal with that. I don't know if that's a situation. I'm quite sure it is, or something your office and task force has talked about. What do we do with those late qualifiers? How are we going to work in conjunction with the colleges, universities, to get these kids into school and to qualify? But other issues that are going on, if you want to touch on that one, you can.
For you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I know Dr. Mackey's working on that at this time, our state superintendent. And I just want to commend him for an awesome job of leadership through this challenge, this health challenge we've had. He's communicated with everyone on a daily basis, keeping us up to date on the latest information. Right now, they have a task force that's looking at the question you just asked me. What are they going to do about ACT tests? What are they going to do about graduating seniors, making sure they're NCAA qualified, all these things? So all those would be, all those solutions are being developed through the State Department of Education, and we couldn't have a better person leading us through this crisis. And he'll ask us all the time, you know, what about athletes? We, you know, and his one of his main concerns is make sure our seniors are NCAA qualified and they meet all those requirements. And I think you'll see a solution come out by March 30th regarding those things if we don't go back to school on April the 6th. And you know what this also makes us do? I got to tell you a little story. Mark Lasser knows my brother Mark, and his son was sent us a picture of him homeschooling his four kids and teaching them, and his son had his hands over his head and his head down like, oh, Dad, please stop. I can't take this anymore. And what it does is make us appreciate those teachers, make us appreciate those teachers that are going out and feeding students right now, make us appreciate all of our educators who do so much for our student athletes. And until you've been in a classroom like Coach Lasser and I have, five periods a day with 30 kids teaching an academic subject, you don't really understand the wonderful job that our teachers do every single day. And at this time, there's an old saying, you can't experience happiness unless you've experienced sadness. I hope one of the end results for this will make us all come back and appreciate all the blessings God has provided us. One of those being our teachers. Another is the ability to play sport and have recreation in our life. So I think we'll learn a lot more than how to solve this virus issue when this is over. But please remember our teachers. They do an awesome job.
Amen. I mean, they're doing it on the fly as far as from transitioning over to the online learning process to make sure their students don't get left behind, Coach. And again, kudos to our state superintendent. I had an opportunity to meet him for the first time while you and I were having lunch at the Final Four in Birmingham, and you're absolutely right. He wanted to make sure that he came out to support not only the girls' athletics, but the boys' athletics as well. And I think that just speaks to the volumes of his leadership and how we're going to continue to trickle down from it.
Coach, you know, one thing that I've wondered about is there's a lot of rural schools in Alabama that have kids that may not have internet, may not have any way of communicating online with their teachers or with their coaches, you know, because they just, because of their proximity, that doesn't allow for that. And there is kids in Birmingham that don't have access to online learning. Many of the schools have adapted some different ways to get education to those kids. Could you tell us a little bit about things that you might know that have gone, you're probably more up on it than I am.
Well, one of the things I would suggest, and I know he'd be a great guest on the show, is have the state superintendent, Dr. Mackey. I've recommended that to a number of people who I've been on other talk shows, and he has always obliged those stations, and he would be the person to answer that question. I think one of the things, Mark, that he is working on right now with his task force is to provide the internet. If we don't come back on the 6th, and this is all, like Corey said, it changes, it's a fluid situation. If we don't come back on the 6th, he's working a way to get internet to every senior in this state to make sure they can graduate. And then for the ones who cannot have the internet, I'm sure they'll develop an academic plan, whether it be something, you know, for the summer, whether it be something at the beginning of the next school year to develop, they'll think outside the box to come up with a solution. You know, it's really important, those kids, especially in subjects like math, that they're in Algebra 1 right now. And before they go to Geometry and Algebra 2, they've got to complete that math class. So they've got to find a way to make sure that they can teach those kids the rest of their math skills so they can transition to upper level math. And that's what they're working on right now to find those solutions. There's probably, Mark, what I've learned in this job especially, that everybody a critic. And right. There's no one-size-fits-all answer for anything that we're doing. We can all find something where it won't work for this one. And that's what our State Department is doing right now, looking at those solutions, because they understand there's not equity with opportunity to use the internet. So what they'll do is they'll look for a solution to that. And I would assume, I'm not the answer to this, we've got enough problems trying to fit athletics in when we come back. But I would say that I would assume that they'll have extended calendars or some type of whether it goes into the beginning of next year and then transition to the next year. I don't know what they'll do, but they'll have some type of solution, and they're working on that now.
Also, Coach, you're looking and you're talking about Mr. and Mrs. Basketball. That was supposed to be named at a banquet here at the beginning of April, and also the Bryant Jordan Scholarship. I wouldn't call it canceled. I'm going to call it repositioned, because we talked in the last segment about the virtual opportunities that are being presented, and I think that these student-athletes, I know these student-athletes who would have an opportunity to win these awards, can still find some type of form of virtual, gathering, a virtual gathering is what I'm going to call it, to where Mr. and Mrs. Basketball can still be honored, even if they're sitting in their living room. And talk about how that's going to be taking hand, or if that's the way that those events will be repositioned virtually as well.
Well, I can talk about the Bryant Jordan, because we're partially responsible for that. But Mr. and Miss Basketball is an event that we help sponsor, but it's put on by the sports writers. And I do know that we have a meeting next week to discuss that, of what we will do. But I would assume we'd use a similar format, if the sports writers want to do that, that we use for Bryant Jordan. And we're going to use the Alabama TV network, our cable network, and we'll use that plus the NFHS network. So it will be streamed, or if you have a cable station that subscribes, and we offer all this free. Everything we do through the cable network is free, but your local cable has to make space for it. So if you want to see these things, whether it's a football game or a basketball game, you have to contact your cable company and ask them to join the Alabama cable network, and if they do, you'll be able to see them. But we're going to do it virtually. We're going to use those. We're going to recognize those people. The most important part is we award them their scholarships. We've already had the meeting where they've been chosen, and they're working on the format now. But it'll be a really neat way to do it. It'll be different. It won't be the same as having 1,000 people at the Sheraton Hotel in Birmingham. But it'll give everyone and everybody's family an opportunity to watch this. And the stream will be free. Television is free if your cable network's on there, so everybody will have an opportunity to watch.
We're speaking with Steve Savarese, the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, being very gracious with his time and information that he has at hand this morning in dealing with the coronavirus, how we're moving forward on a day-to-day basis. And in the next segment, Coach, before we let you go at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about the Super 7 and how it's transitioning to new places, as well as the Final Four, and going to revenue sharing as well. And don't go anywhere. You listen to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Yeah.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland, who we hope gets healthy very soon. Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwig, Philip on the phone lines, 251-343-0106 is how you can get in touch with us. And on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines is the Executive Director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, Steve Savarese. And Coach, let's talk about revenue sharing. And I know in a time of crisis, to where when certain schools rely on spring sports, of course, it generates revenue. Spring sport championship events generate revenue. And when there's no events that can be held, you know, revenue sharing for your school, sometimes, again, you take that eraser out, and the numbers that you thought that you could bank on and were solid start to be changed a little bit. Talk to us about how that's going to affect revenue sharing.
Well, first I want to thank our Central Board of Control, you know, beginning in 2010, saying that we needed to keep 1 year in reserve. Never, ever thinking that we would have to use any of our reserve. They were wise enough back then to make sure the Alabama High School Athletic Association had money for a rainy day. Now, we'll lose if we are not able to go back to school and host championships. We may even come back and not play. If we came back in May, we just might let our kids play without championships, just to allow them to play. But whatever we do, if we don't have that revenue, then it affects the bottom line of what we could return with revenue share. The good news is, because we were able to complete our winter and fall sports, I think there should be something there for revenue share, but it won't be as great like the $2 million we gave back last year. It definitely won't be that number, but we're just very thankful that we had the leadership of the Central Board of Control that mandated we keep that 1 year in reserve. Because I can tell you, I was on a conference call Thursday with all 50 state association executive directors, and there are some states really hurting right now, even wondering if they can open their doors in the fall. And we're very blessed in Alabama. We should be able to continue as normal.
One of the things also, Coach, is since the last time we've talked to you, Super 7 has occurred back in December. A new site has been added, but it's a new site with a familiar place, Birmingham, Alabama, and their new stadium that's being built on campus at UAB is now going to be one of the host sites for the Super 7, rotating sites with Auburn as well as Alabama. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, Corey, we have been so blessed in our state to have the cooperation of the universities of Alabama and Auburn to allow us to use their facilities for 3 days to bring all of our teams there, the hundreds of individuals that have to work from those universities to open up those huge stadiums. And we've been very, very blessed for the last 8 years. One of the reasons we left Birmingham was the quality of the facility. And we always told Birmingham that if there was another stadium, or it wasn't anything against Birmingham, that we would love to have Birmingham in a rotation. So when they built this new facility, it's going to be second to none. It's going to be a great facility. They're deciding now whether they put grass or turf on the field, and we're hoping they put turf. But as they move forward with that facility, we look forward in 2021 to adding that to the rotation for our student athletes, and again providing them an experience we hope they'll never forget.
Reclassification has come up this year, as well as the subject of competitive balance that kind of shapes the figures of how reclassification comes up. Talk to us about the state office and the central board go ahead and making those changes with reclassification and competitive balance.
Yes, sir. Well, we are reclassifying at the end of every sports season, fall, winter, and spring. And we'll face some challenges now as we move into, if we're not able to play spring sports, we'll have to reevaluate how we reclassify for spring sports. So that's something we're also looking at now and working on that because of the competitive balance factor. But I would assume, if we're not able to play, we just wouldn't be able to count it as we move forward going into the next year. But we're reclassifying at the end of every sports season now.
Okay, I like the reclassification at the end of every sports season, but as you were talking about moving the sites, the football Super 7 sites, basketball is also going to be relocated to kind of a split venue between the Crossplex in Birmingham as well as Bartow Arena moving forward. I think that's going to be interesting in the years to come as well.
Well, it's only for 1 year, Corey. Next year, the BJCC is going through a major renovation with hopes that they'll be able to host NCAA large basketball tournaments. And while the renovation has taken place, UAB has been gracious, along with Crossplex, to agree to host us for 1 year. And once we get through that, we are going to be back at the BJCC with the best basketball arena we've ever had the opportunity to play in. It'll be an unbelievable experience for our kids.
Well, Coach, I'm very excited that you took the time out of your busy Saturday morning to sit down and have a Saturday morning discussion with a couple of guys like Coach Mark Lasseter and myself. And always love to see you these last couple of weeks in the championship events in Birmingham, as well as the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game. And just can't thank you enough for all the leadership that you've applied, not only to my life, but Coach Lasseter's life and Coach Cleveland's life as well. And just want to thank you for being such a great friend, brother.
Well, I'm the one who's grateful for you allowing me the opportunity to come on, and I am the one who's very fortunate to be able to call both of you guys friends. You know, I think Mark and I have gone back a long time. I love Mark, Rick. I feel the same way about him and Corey as I've got to know you. I call you a special friend, and I want to tell you, you're very talented behind that microphone, as you now are calling some of the biggest games behind the mic for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. So I feel like I'm truly the blessed one to be with you, and I thank you for having me on.
Coach, thank you so very much for those kind words. I don't deserve them, but thank you so much for taking time, and tell all your family I said hello, and God bless you, and please take care.
Well, thank you. And Mark, don't feel bad about all the heartburn that you gave me years ago. I want you just to let that go now.
Believe me, don't worry. I took my fanny chewings well. And thank you, brother, for everything. I'm serious. And you know how I feel about you. And Godspeed to you and Beth. And tell her I love her. And y'all take care.
Love you guys very much. Have a great day.
Do the same, Coach. Steve Savarese, the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, joining us for an extended period of time this morning on the Prep Sports Report, giving us a lot of knowledge and wisdom as, again, him being the leader, it's going to change on a daily basis, and he'll keep us up to date as it continues to do so. Hour number two of the Prep Sports Report coming up. We're going to give you some very informative information on the coronavirus coming up next.
From the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
This is the day.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, hour number two here on this beautiful Saturday morning. Wouldn't have it any other way to be joined 52 weeks out of the year. And Coach Mark Lasseter, I know this morning, throughout this entire first hour, we've had a very special guest sitting in our studios, and I'll let you take it from here, Coach.
Today with us, we've got Dr. Robert Robichaud from Cardiology Associates. He is the electrician who wired, I can tell you right from personal experience, he wired up my ICD unit in my chest. Is what he does. Pacemakers, ICD units, takes care of folks. Also has a master's in public health.
That's correct.
And he's going to give us some insight to the coronavirus. And you know us on this show, we're not going to sugarcoat everything. He's going to tell us kind of what he sees coming and from things that he does know. So I'm just going to be quiet and welcome this morning. And I'm going to tell you something. This guy's one of my heroes now. I'm just going to tell you, be quiet. He's one of the guys that saved my life 2 years ago, and has been a close friend ever since, and just appreciate you being here with us this morning.
Well, when you asked me to come, that was a no-brainer, and it's an honor to be here with you, and of course, you know, our relationship is very special to me as well, and you know, I've shared this with you, having an athletic background, playing high school and college sports. The coaches that that have influenced my life, life lessons that I've learned from those things, you know, they're applicable to everything that we do and have helped us with the success we've had along the way. And so giving that back and being able to help you and it's just been a special relationship. And the things that we've been able to do with AEDs in Baldwin County, you know, it's wonderful to be able to give back and to help folks. And you know, I like I said, I'm happy to be on here with you, and we'll talk as much as I can about what I do know and what I've researched. And again, I want to make it clear, though, anything that I do say is coming from my opinion and my expertise, and not the, you know, this is not anything that is being represented by the state or national health departments. So just please understand that. But any questions and that I can help with, I'm happy to.
Well, there's, you know, there's millions of questions a lot of people are going to ask. I think the most prevalent question that I have right now is, how do we stop the spreading?
Yeah, so, you know, this is an unprecedented pandemic. And we use the term pandemic because, you know, this is not like a measles outbreak that happens in, you know, a isolated area in a small region of the United States. This is global, this is dangerous. And right now, you know, we're trying to get our hands around it because it's new, it's novel, and it can kill especially our most vulnerable folks. And the way it spreads is exponential. And what I mean by that is that if you have it, the way you spread it to other people, it's more likely to spread to other people than, for instance, the flu. And the scary thing with this is that the vast majority of people who get it, we think maybe 80%, don't show signs of symptoms, or certainly don't show signs of symptoms during a phase when they can spread the virus. And that is one of the things that has led to this kind of ballooning. And it's also part of the rationale for how we are doing this social distancing. And I think that that's exceptionally important. And what we're recognizing, and, you know, KIV, when they came out last week and shut down a lot of different things, our beaches most recently, for us, we're not doing certain elective procedures. You know, we feel, man, this is, you know, this is pretty heavy. This is, you know, very authoritarian. But what the point of this is that we have to cut the number of opportunities of people who have the virus from spreading it to others. And if we're able to do that, that, you know, you hear this, these terms of trying to flatten the curve. What we do with this is we buy ourselves time. Because if we can't flatten this curve, the number of people who will get sick is going to balloon, and it's going to overwhelm our ICU beds, our ability to take care of people, not only with the virus, but other medical problems that we take for granted, that we take care of on a routine basis. And so it's so important for us to take heed to these warnings and to recognize that we likely are going to have much more tightened restrictions coming forward, so that we can limit the number of people who get sick and can accommodate them. Because I will tell you, and I, you know, I'm not here to scare anybody, but this is the real thing. And even though right now we're only seeing, you know, a few people in our local area in Mobile and Baldwin County, you know, all you have to do is look at the state of Alabama and look, you know, a couple days ago, there were, you know, 5 people. Then there were 20, 35, 50, 70. Now we have over 100. And, you know, with the growth of this, you can plot it out. It keeps growing exponentially. And so before you know it, you have thousands of people that could have this. And then within that grouping, people who are really, really sick. And what's really important to recognize is the people who are most vulnerable to this are people over 65, over 70 years of age in particular, and those with pre-existing other conditions. For instance, diabetes, high blood pressure, lung issues like COPD. And those people in particular, we're trying to prevent from getting this. And so that's why with social distancing, you know, church services are canceled. We're not able to do a lot of things. And I know it feels difficult to take on and cede these freedoms. But if we don't do it, the long-term consequences of this are dire. And we can't underestimate that. And for anybody out there who thinks, well, you know, we live in Alabama, we're, you know, this is stuff in big cities or this is just political propaganda, this is not. And we are all going to recognize and be touched in a 9/11 kind of way from this virus. And the more we do on the front end, and the more we take this seriously and limit our contact, washing our hands, you know, doing all the things that we can do, the better. And I think that that's very important. But we're going to be asked to make sacrifices that we don't even recognize yet. But we're making these sacrifices because we value life. We especially value the lives of our older and vulnerable population. And, you know, we're going to be asked to sacrifice financially. Our economy is hurting very bad. But, you know, we're Americans, and this is what we do in times of tragedy and difficulty. And you know, we've got to step up to that challenge, and all of us have to. And it's difficult, especially like Corey was saying with you know, kids playing high school sports. I would be crushed. I mean, this is tough. This is real tough stuff. But we all are going to, and you know, we've got to be coachable, and we've got to listen to the voices, recognize that they have more information than we do, and that it's for a common good. That down the, you know, a month down the way, 2 months down the way, that we're going to pay benefits.
Talk Dr. Kevin Robichaud,
Robert
Robichaud, excuse me, and just giving us a great knowledge base in regards to how the coronavirus can spread, how it affects not only us mentally, physically, but the high school athletes as well. And I think that's so very important. And again, I want to thank him publicly for go ahead and just bringing awareness not only to the coronavirus, but to heart prevention and AEDs and jumping on board and really saving one of my best friend's life, because I can't tell you how much Rick and I prayed about Coach Lassiter's health, and knowing that he was in good hands, not only with you, but the Lord also. So thank you very much for taking care of a good friend of ours here on the Prep Sports Report, and somebody we wouldn't want to do the show without.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to have another guest here on the Prep Sports Report. We're going to talk a little high school football as well. New coaches at Baldwin County also.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland. We hope he gets well very soon. Keep him in your prayers, and he would definitely do that. Mark Lassiter in here with us, as always, 52 weeks out of the year. Dalton doing a great job running our boards. Philip taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106. And we talked about, even though there is no sports going on right now across the country, high school-wise, elementary school-wise, any sports, there is a lot of movement that is still going on in the Mobile Baldwin County area from a coaching standpoint. And this past week, Baldwin County named their new head football coach. It's a familiar name that comes from right along here along the Gulf Coast. Scott Riles is the new head football coach of the Baldwin County Tigers, and he joins us this morning on the Prep Sports Report and the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Corey. How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing good, buddy. Good to hear from you, Scott.
All right. Yes, sir. Glad to be with y'all.
Coach, you take the new job at Baldwin County, and it's in a time to where it's not like you have an opportunity to go and meet all your student athletes and prepare for spring training. We're in an unprecedented and uncharted territories. I know it's hard to try to go ahead and find you a staff because, again, with social distancing, I know you can go up and you can get your office in order, but you have to do it kind of by yourself because there's no student athletes to do it around. And some of the kids who know your name but just don't know who you are, haven't had an opportunity to meet you face-to-face. So talk about how excited you are to take over at Baldwin County High School and how challenging it's been to begin the job.
Right. Well, I'm extremely excited. I say this, and I believe it, that Baldwin County High School is a sleeping giant. I believe we got some great kids. I know the community is behind us 100%. You know, we just got to get in there, do things the right way, and I really believe we can really do some awesome things down the road. And you know, the coaches, as you kind of touched on, I've got to meet with a couple of them, you know, here and there, one or two at a time, with our social distancing going on. But anyway, we're getting in there and sort of kind of getting things lined up. It is going to be a process, going to take us a little time, but we're very excited about the, you know, the future of Baldwin County High School.
You know, Coach, and you're doing something in an unprecedented time that, you know, a new coach, new school, everything's brand new to you and to them, and you can't even get with them. What are some things that you will try to do between now and whenever we are able to return back to school, whether it be, you know, a month, 2 months, a year, who knows how long it's going to be, but what do you do in between that time? And we're just asking, I'm just asking for advice because people just don't know.
Yeah, well, one thing we're trying to do, of course, as y'all mentioned, I mean, several things, but first we are getting in there and cleaning everything, the locker room, the field house, everything, the weight room, getting everything cleaned up and that sort of thing. As far as the workouts, we're trying to, I got a kind of plan. I met with some coaches, a couple of them yesterday, and we kind of getting us a plan together to send out to the kids where hopefully they can do some stuff on their own. You know, a lot of student athletes, they don't have weight equipment all at their house, but there's a lot of other things you can do, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, running, conditioning, and that sort of thing to kind of stay in some sort of shape because, as you said, we don't know when we're going to get them back and when we get them back, how quick we might get to play. So there's a lot of things to do, and from our standpoint, not just me, but other coaches that are just getting to a new school, you know, we have, we haven't even talked about the X's and O's and how we're going to line up and the things we're going to do. So there's going to be a lot to do going forward.
No question about it, Coach. You're coming from Luverne, and you're jumping right into what we love to call the SEC West, 6A Region 1. And the reclassification really didn't help with that any as far as, you know, you lose Daphne jumping out of there, but you gain McGill. So it's a situation to where I know you're worried about your team and you're preparing your team, but when you sit and talk about the competition level of 6A Region 1, was that one of the things that really intrigued you and really kind of helps you kind of burn the extra oil at nighttime to get your team prepared for hopefully this upcoming football season?
Yes, sir. As you mentioned, the SEC West, that is, you know, is known of kind of around the state. The teams in there, I mean, when you have Spanish Fort, who's a 4-seed, goes all the way to the state championship game, almost wins, you know, that just tells you the depth and the quality of the teams and, you know, it's in this region. So it's one of those things that, yeah, I don't know if all the midnight oil we can burn may not be enough to help us, but we're going to do everything we can to compete and work hard and just put a good quality team out there on the field. And, you know, again, I know the players at Baldwin County are excited, and we're going to love our kids, coach them hard, and again, just put our best foot forward to kind of get us on the map. You know, it's only, I think, out of the last about 14 years, Baldwin County's been in the playoffs one time. So we're going to try to get in there maybe and, you know, make some noise down the road.
07 was the last time that the Tigers did make the postseason. And it's a situation, Coach, to where when you do come in and you're not able to have any players around, have you had an opportunity to go to huddle and look at some of the game film and kind of look at your roster to see how many juniors that you have that will be seniors next year, or how many underclassmen that you have that possibly play good reps for your Tigers, and kind of evaluate how they will fit into the type of system that you will be bring in to Baldwin County High School?
Right. We you probably know that already before you asked that question, we did a lot of that before we ever got here and took the job. But they Baldwin County lost, I believe it was 29 seniors on last year's team and only 5 or 6 juniors. So it's going to be a very young squad to start with. There is some very talented young guys, the 9th and 10th grade group coming up. It's got a lot of really good talented players. So I think going forward, I know going forward, if we can just get all those, you know, guys on the same page and everybody working together, there is some talent there, some good skill guys, some big linemen. So, you know, and it's just a good mix of kids, it seemed to be. So I'm just, it's kind of disheartening that you can't get in there and meet them and all, because a week or so ago I was going to meet everybody yesterday morning. We had everything lined up to meet Friday morning. That was my first day. And then, you know, as y'all mentioned, it may be a month or 2 months or 6 months before we get together. We just don't know.
You know, Coach, one thing that I've always known about Baldwin County and the city of Bay Minette is that is a proud community, and there's kids there that can play this game of football. I recall in 2000 or 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002, we played mm-hmm. them quite often when I was at Fairhope or at Alma Bryant, and I mean, it was some slobber knocker ball games back in, and those kids are still there. They're there. They haven't gone anywhere. And, you know, I think that you are absolutely right about watching them, knowing what you got coming, knowing that it's going to be young. But, man, if they once you get them started, get molded into what you believe and they buy in, it's going to be a great thing for you, Coach.
Right. I think you're right, Mark. We got, winning, if you can ever just get – over the hump and get things going right and winning, you know, it just breeds success, and kids get confident. They know they can do things and believe in each other, you know. And again, as I've talked with the coaches and all that, you know, we just got to be selfless and not selfish. We just got to put others in front of our own wants, needs, and desires. And there's a lot of great things can happen here. And yes, the people of Baldwin County are very proud of the school and and everyone at Bay Minette I've talked to, and people's reached out to me via, you know, Twitter and email and Facebook and everything else, saying we're so excited. So, I mean, the excitement's there. I think the work ethic's there. We just got to get in there, and once things break loose, well, we can get going and get to work.
Scott Riles, the new head football coach of Baldwin County, going to take that Tiger program hopefully back to the postseason as soon as he's able to get himself in a position to where he can actually meet the kids because of the coronavirus pandemic that's going around. But, Coach, welcome back to the Gulf Coast. We're happy to have you back here. And Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, look forward to seeing you at High School Media Days here pretty soon.
Well, Corey, I'm looking forward to being there, and I sure do thank y'all for having us, and we're very excited, and go Tigers.
Take care, Coach.
Scott Riles joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back for our 9:30 segment right here on the Prep Sports Report.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland, not feeling well this morning. We want to just keep him in our prayers this morning. Coach Mark Lasseter joining us as always, along with Dr. Robert Robichaud. as well as Dalton Orwick. Philip, taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106. And even though there are not any high school activities going on, still looking forward and trying to be optimistic about what's going to happen here in July. The basketball teams were announced for the All-Star Sports Week, and that All-Star Sports Week is scheduled to occur on July 14th in Montgomery. And here locally for the South girls team, you had Kristen Guy from Baker High School. You also had MG Lyman from Foley, Sonola Mixon from McGill-Tulin, along with Naya Valentine from McGill-Tulin. So congratulations to those players on the girls' side. And from the South, on the South roster, J.D. Davidson from Calhoun. You also had Jordan Dubose-Bell from Williamson, Riley Leonard from Fairhope, Jalen Murray from LaFleur as well. So just want to congratulate those basketball athletes. And moving forward in the next couple of weeks, we'll go ahead and we'll tell you about the track and field athletes who were selected to play in the North-South game games. And again, that's just a huge event for the state of Alabama in the summer times, because it kind of gets us prepared for the 2020-2021 school years. And with all the uncertainty that's going on with the coronavirus and the corona pandemic that's going across our world right now, we like to look forward to these events that are supposed to be scheduled in July and look forward to them hopefully taking place. But as we continue to move forward on this morning's Prep Sports Report, a couple of segments ago, we had an opportunity to kind of touch on how the coronavirus not only affects us physically and mentally, you know, socially in the athletics world, but also how serious it is and how we demonstrate and display social distancing. And that's one of the reasons why you don't have large gatherings of athletes. And again, this does not discriminate, as we saw the first confirmed case in Mobile County be an adolescent. And we've seen many times many NBA players who we feel, Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, just diagnosed this past week with coronavirus, Kevin Durant and others that we feel that are in supreme shape. So it doesn't matter. It just goes to speak that we're just trying to control this pandemic, Coach.
You know, and it is difficult. And as we've talked on here, there's a lot of things that Dr. Robichaud has already shared with you about, some talking about some things that we can do. But there is some positive sides of this about how we handle it and how we prepare our kids. You know, we talked about just a second ago about coaching right now is changing. And it's changing. We're not going to coach sport. We're going to coach life. So tell us some things that we can do there.
Yeah, so, you know, and there is hope. There's always hope. And there's always things that we can do, you know, besides buying toilet paper. You know, we can do other things. Number one, and things that we should probably do anyways, in fact, we should, washing hands, right? And that's with soap. That's greater than 20 seconds. Using hand sanitizers, not hugging, you know, doing elbow bumps. There's other ways of if we are in interactions with other people, ways that we can do so in a safe and less risky manner. But then, you know, other things that I think should be, you know, stated, we as a, you know, where we live locally, we social distance kind of by choice. So, you know, we don't live in heavily dense areas like in Atlanta, like in New York, like a LA. And, you know, we don't use the subway. We don't live in high rises where we're sharing elevators and stairwells and PO boxes or going to the laundromat. And so we do have less contact. And so we're hoping that that's going to help as well. But what can we do? Well, the best thing that you can do is to be healthy, you know, and we should try this anyways. But, and what I mean by that is what your mama told you, which is eat three meals a day, you know, in a regimented way, get your sleep, you know, get 8 hours of sleep and exercise. Now, I'm not advocating going to the gym and being around a big group of people, but, you know, this social distancing should not mean let's go buy a bunch of snack food, sit in a corner, and watch reruns of Back to the Future. You know, this should be an opportunity for us you know, to try to be healthy, because we all recognize when we're run down, that's when we get sick. Or if we do get sick when we're run down, we get sicker. So I would advocate for people to recognize, you know, make sure if you take medicines, make sure you have refills, make sure you're taking the recommended medicines and advice of your physicians. But then also making sure you're getting your sleep, you're getting your exercise, and then, you know, I think it's important to pray.
I think that you're exactly right, and we're in a time where you said it a moment ago, and I know I have friends of mine who think this is something's going to pass. You know, it's not that big an issue. You said it a minute ago, this is real.
Yes.
This is a real event, and it is going to get worse.
That's correct.
Before it gets better. And it's in our control, and it also shows us how little control we really have.
That's correct.
You know, that's what it kind of shows us both things.
It does. And what we really need is time. And the more we can do to adhere to these social distancing policies, the more time we have to learn more about the virus. And we've already learned in an unprecedented way about this virus that we've never learned as quickly about other pandemics, other things in the history of medicine. And, you know, how quickly we're learning about anti-malarial drugs, about trying to use certain techniques, and learning from the mistakes and the successes in China and in Italy and so on and so forth. I mean, we're in real time getting manuals from there on how to treat people when we start seeing more numbers. And so, you know, we're trying to buy that time, but never underestimate the ingenuity of our people when we're put in adversity. And we're going to see reverberations, not just in the medical field, but in technology, you know, how we communicate, how we school, how we, entertain. So we're going to see some changes.
There are definitely going to be some changes, and we had talked about one of those things being our coaching techniques, coaching kids about life, and coaching one another. And then at the same time, even as old as I am, being coachable myself.
That's right. You know? And we all do. And you know, I'm listening to the people who I work with. You know, I'm at Cardiology Associates. We have people who administrate for us. Vance Chun is our leader. He's our coach. You know, we have people like, for instance, at Infirmary System, Scott Finn and Mark Nix, and then over, you know, at Providence under the Ascension Care System and Spring Hill, and as well as South Baldwin. And we have, you know, good leaders, people who are listening to the right people and trying to make those plans. But we do have to be coachable. There's no question about it. And, you know, from cardiology standpoint, you know, not only do we, you know, is it important for us to be coachable, but we got to listen to the people and listen to the advice of our physicians, our, you know, the different people who are taking care of us, because we're going to be here. I mean, this is what we do. This is why we do what we do. This is why we went into the field. And, you know, we may change how we do it. You know, we may go to more of a telemedicine approach in the short term. But I can't speak for everyone, but I can for Cardiology Associates. You know, we're going to be there for you guys, and we want to help. And as far as coaching and being a coach or a teacher, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to make an impact, like you were saying, not just on the sports field, but in life. These moments and these lessons our kids are going to remember for the rest of their lives. So, you know, it's important for us to show calm, show, you know, decisive leadership, and, you know, show them the power of prayer. Show them, hey, you can, why don't you help that old person down the street? You know, why don't we call them up? Hey, how are you doing? You know, how's, I know you're not able to get around. You know, is there anything I can do? Can I mow your lawn? You know, can I help take out your garbage? You know, there are things that as leaders, as coaches, that we can impart on our kids, that it's not just let's watch cartoons and get on Facebook.
You know, you're exactly right, because there are people that live on my street that are my age or better And there's
you're still young. You're still young.
Yeah, I'm still a young guy compared to a lot of people.
That's right.
And a lot of pretty ancient compared to many too. But these people, they're gonna need some help.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, need some help. They gonna need somebody to do some things for them, and it's gonna be tough on them. You know, I called my mom and dad yesterday. You know, I'm very fortunate. My mom and dad are still alive, living in Birmingham, and I called them to see what they were doing. You know,
that's right.
And I said, how are you guys doing? And my brothers and my sister, they're continually going to get them groceries or whatever they need, bringing it to them and keeping them in the house.
That's right.
As much as they really don't want to be in the house.
That's right.
You know, Dad's 83, and he's got some heart issues and high blood pressure. Mom is, you know, up close to 80. I won't tell her age because I'll get in trouble. But she's had some health issues for a while, and we are concerned about that. You know, I've got my mother and father-in-law live with us, and so I'm concerned about them. I'm concerned about when I go out into the public to do this, to go to Walmart, to go pick up something that I've taken care of myself, so I don't bring it home to them.
Sure, and limiting those visits and being very directed about how we do those and minimizing contact with others, you know, that's the best we can do, but that's a very important role that we can all play.
Dr. Robichaud mentioned prayer a moment ago, and we're going to talk about that on the Grace segment coming up, and because it is a powerful, powerful tool that God has given us, and need to use it a little bit more.
Something you don't want to miss out on is, again, we love our faith segment right here on the Prep Sports Report, and again, that's coming up next right here on PSR.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Boy, if there was ever a time, if there was ever a time that God's grace is sufficient, it's now. It is sufficient. It's sufficient in my life. It's sufficient in my life. It's sufficient when I know that battle I'm fighting uphill, I can't win. I cannot win it. All I can do is fight it. Sometimes during that fight, I have to surrender and say, I need help. And I give that help to God. I ask for that help from God, and He will help, maybe not in my time, but in His time. We've said on this show many times today, and you're going to hear it everywhere you turn, uncertain times, unprecedented times, times of that we're afraid, and we should be afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the unknown. I'm afraid of what I do know. I do know that sickness is coming to our country. It's already here. And I'm not going to sit back and say, it's not happening, you know, as propaganda. It's not. It is not propaganda. It is the real deal, and it is coming to our home front. And we are going to have to fight it. And the fight is staying away from people, staying at home, quarantining ourselves, not getting out unless you just absolutely have to. And if all possible, at that point, make it to be the same person every time who does the same thing out of your household to go get medicine, to go get food, whatever you need to be. That person does it every time. They have a routine. They know what to do. They have wipes with them. They got gloves on. They go and get what they need and come back home. I saw the other day, thinking on Facebook, somebody had put in a little blurb in there about quarantine and people that have been quarantined or people that have been in hiding, and we're going to gripe about, oh, I'm getting claustrophobic, I'm in my house and I can't get out and I can't do this. And then there's a story that most everybody in this country should have read. I think most everybody, if you went through the eighth grade, you read to read the Diary of Anne Frank. If you read that diary, you know that Anne Frank and her family, I don't remember how many it was several, 8, 9, 10, 11 people in that house, and my English teacher's probably going to call and correct me, but they lived in an attic 470 square feet for over 700 days. We don't know that in our country today. We've never had to face that. The majority, there may be some people who've had to do that. I don't know. But the majority of us kind of lived a pretty good life. We live a pretty... Henry Wise, boy, played ball for us, made this statement, and it is more relevant today than ever. We live a pretty incredible life in America. We live a pretty incredible life. We do. And we don't even recognize it. I don't recognize it daily. When I wake up, I have the freedom to wake up, say what I want to say, do what I want to do, so long as it's within the guise of the law. I am a free man. There are people in this world who are not. We can do what we want. Today, I know what I've got to do is pray. I got to pray for help for my family. Man, when first thing first came out, the first thing I thought about was my kids. Are they going to be safe? Will they take this to heart? Are they going to be okay? Landon's in Bruton. He's supposed to come home today. You know, I don't want him up there quarantined in Bruton in a house by himself for goodness knows how long it could be. I want him with his family. That's me being an overprotective old bear. But I don't care. I'm that guy. But today we've talked about, Dr. Robichaud said a minute ago, prayer is part of health and taking care of other people. And I'm so thankful that he's with us today. He got some really great insight into prayer and health in America.
Well, and, you know, we even though we're not able to go to church and congregate together, we can use social media, we can use our technology to still minister, you know, to our family, to our friends. There's going to be a lot of sick people. There's going to be a lot of people who need our prayers, our physical, but also our spiritual help. And that's an area where the coaches listening here can be that guiding light. They can be that lighthouse and impart to our young people how important it is to adhere to these conditions, but also to pray. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to, you know, maybe do a Bible study, maybe do, you know, and they can work on that part of their life. You know, we all need to. I know I do. But I do think that is, even though we can't go to church per se, that doesn't mean we can't still be spiritual. But the last thing I just want to say, I know we've been talking about how serious this is, but, you know, as Paul says, hope never fails. And there is always hope, and there's reason to think that America has faced many trials and tribulations over time, but we have succeeded because of our values, because of how we respond to adversity. And this is our generation, this very well may be our generation's call.
It's so very important that you realize the power of prayer. And what I love about this show is we're not scared to talk about faith. We're not scared to share our faith. We're not scared our ups and our downs, our successes and our failures, because that's where you learn. And, you know, we don't win or lose here on this show. You just learn on this show each and every week. And that's the great thing. No matter what the outcome of the scores that we see from a Friday night or from a Tuesday night or from whatever competition it may be that high school athletes are participating in, the great thing is at the end of the day, you know, we're able on this show to uplift them. we're able to uplift each other. We're able to go ahead and talk about our faith and where and how prayer moves mountains and how prayer will change this pandemic that's going on. I know there was supposed to be a national day of prayer, but we can always have a national day of prayer. It doesn't have to be a specific day. It should be every day in our lives. And like Coach said, there's so many things to be thankful for.
That's right, brother. There is, and there's a lot of things to have hope in. There's a lot of things to have hope in. I can tell you right now, I'm alive today because of prayer. I believe that with all my heart. Not that there was some miraculous intervention by God, but there was prayer by people for the doctors, the first responders, the people around to help me get better, help me stay alive, and that's what happened. The power of prayer can save a life. It can save our country.
It will. Thank you, Steve Savarese, Executive Director of the AHSAA, for joining us. Scott Riles, the new head coach of Baldwin County, and Dr. Robichaud for sitting in with us these 2 hours. We look forward to coming to you next week right here on the Prep Sports Report. We'll